I'm excited for what the Lord has for us today, because we're going to continue this Immeasurably More series. And just the heart of it, if this is your first Sunday in it, the heart of this Immeasurably More series is many people feel like, and I have felt like this in my life, there should just be more to following Jesus. Like, he didn't just die and then defeat death and raise from the grave and then send us his Holy Spirit so that we could just live a boring life. Anybody here living a fun Christian life? I know I am. It's a joy to wake up and to pursue Jesus. And some days it's easy. Some days it's fun. Some days it's difficult. Some days it's fruitful. And some days I mess it up. And he loves me and walks with me anyway. And there's just so much more to following Jesus than just trying to live a good life. There's so much more to following Jesus than just trying to go to church every Sunday or one Sunday a month or check a box off the list to say that you did it. There's so much more to following Jesus than just going to heaven later. There is immeasurably more that God has promised for your life. And I pray that in this series, you find that. And I know that in our community groups, we get the honor of being in two community groups and both groups last week talking about how, man, they have just found immeasurably more in community groups. They have found immeasurably more that God has for them as they have walked alongside of other people who do not have it all together, right? But they're trying to follow Jesus. And man, God just has so much more than what you thought possible. And I'm excited to continue to show you that today. And last week's big idea was that life with the Holy Spirit is the immeasurably more. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he promised right before, he said, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you power. He's going to dwell in you. He's going to give you a new life. He's going to make you more and more like me. And I think many of us miss out on what God has for us in the immeasurably more because we are not walking with the Holy Spirit and we're not walking with community. And I'm seeing that in the lives of so many people who we encounter in groups that they're in this. And today, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of testimony while I walk through this scripture, because this is how I got probably to where I am today is I was in this same like rut as trying to follow Jesus. Just felt like I was stuck all the time, constantly going to the altar for the same sin. Anybody ever been there before? Don't raise your hand too high because someone might judge you. Hey, you never know. But yeah, I've been there, right? Of like, man, I just feel stuck. I feel like there should be more to this. And all my life of following Jesus has felt like sin, guilt, rinse and repeat. Sin, guilt, rinse and repeat. And I would try to repent. I would try to overcome it. And I just felt trapped in my sin. I felt like I was in bondage. And you know the sins that Paul lists. There's several lists in the scripture of sins that we are to avoid. And that's what we've been saved from. Right. So I had this question as a teenager and as a young adult of like, man, Christ, you said that you died so that I could be set free from this. Why can't I break free? Why am I still stuck in this? Why can't I have new life? Why am I constantly guilty? Why am I constantly feeling ashamed? And for me, it felt like Christianity was nothing but rules and regulations that you're to follow. Anybody been there before? It's just like this list of things that you're to do. And if you do them well enough, you can prove to yourself that you've been saved. And that was my story. I was trying to prove to myself that I had been saved. So I was working as hard as I could to be as good as I could to prove to myself that I'd actually received Jesus. Anybody ever been there before? I pray that today you can unlock and God will unlock in you that the promise that he has, because this is what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Today's message is there's immeasurably more freedom for you than you ever thought possible, than you could ever ask or think or imagine. There is so much more freedom in following Jesus than just showing up on Sundays, feeling bad about yourself, praying and asking God to help you, and then on Monday, doing it all over again. There's so much more to this life, and I pray that you find that today, because I know that for me, I never felt like I was experiencing freedom in Christ. It felt like more bondage than before I gave my life to Jesus. It's like when I gave my life to Jesus, I just did what I want, didn't care. I didn't even feel bad about it. Then I gave my life to Jesus, and it's like, I guess we're free, so I'm gonna do what I want because my sin's been paid for, but then I just felt bad about it. And there was no freedom in that. So I tried harder to be better, and that did not work. I was trying really hard in the early days of my Christian life to not sin. And if you've been following Jesus for a long time, you know that the days you try to not sin, you usually do what? You sin. But the days that you focus on him, he sets you free from that. And you can live in freedom. So I hope you can see that today. Because what happened for me, I felt this way and as a teenager. And someone said, you should study the book of Romans. So my very first study Bible that I was given at Christmas one year, I started reading in the book of Romans, my very first study ever in my first study Bible. Anybody ever read the book of Romans? I probably wouldn't tell you to study that as your very first book. There's a lot of theology, there's a lot of big words, there's a lot of phrases that repeat themselves, and Paul is just trying to get across to the people of Rome a message of what salvation actually is and how you get saved. He kind of laid out a process for them because the people of Rome were a smart people and they needed kind of an intellectual understanding of salvation. And so I started reading in the book of Romans, and my study Bible was New King James Version, and it was okay, but man, it was hard to read. Because I don't speak in these and thous. I don't know many people who do. Right? So it felt like reading it in Greek, but I can remember studying. I still have this Bible, and the book of Romans is just so marked up with notes and things that I felt and things that I was trying to understand. And I go back and I read those today, and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't right. And that was close, but man, and I could see the process of my salvation. That's why you should write in your Bible, I think, because you can go back and look. And here's my problem, and here's what left me, I think, feeling like I was in bondage. I have a bad habit. If you know this about me, you don't have to smile. I have a bad habit of starting something and not finishing it. Starting the book of Romans, studying it, getting about halfway through and trying to live the first half without reading the second half. Right? I can remember so many times in college and even up until now, starting the book of Acts, and I'll read the first half and then the second half just kind of fade off into the distance. You ever felt that way? You get excited and you start into something and then you never finish it. That was my life, and that was my study of the book of Romans. And if I would have finished reading the book, I wouldn't have experienced the bondage that I experienced. Because I had half truth, so I didn't have full freedom, right? So I had to learn it, and here's what I was learning. In Romans 5, it's by grace that we have been saved. That's the message of Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the message of Romans 5 is that if you will trust in Jesus, he makes you right with God. The word for that in theology is justified, right? It's where you're set free from the consequence of sin. When Jesus died for you, when he laid down his life, his blood was the payment for your sin. So you can stand before God, have confidence before God, if you have faith in Jesus and you trust his work on the cross and his death and his resurrection, you can be justified before God. And here's what that means. The Bible teaches all the way from the beginning to the end that the wages of sin, the penalty, the cost of sin, of disobeying the God of life is death. Jesus paid the penalty. So you got to think of it like this way. When you go to court for something, you stand before the judge. If you go based off of your actions with the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to go die and go to hell because you can't make it. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But those who have faith in Jesus are made right with him. So when you stand before God, your payment has been paid. The debt has been paid. You ever like going through the drive-thru and you get to the window and they're like, hey, the person in front of you paid it forward and paid for your bill. Then you have this, you're like, thank God, praise the Lord, I needed this. And then you have this internal dilemma of, do I do this for the next person or not? Here's what happened to me the other day. I was going through a Dunkin' Donuts, which I shouldn't have been doing because it's just a bunch of sugar and caffeine. But I was like, hey, might as well, I'm here. And I get to the window and the guy's like, hey, the person in front of you paid for your ticket. And so I was like, praise the Lord. That's actually really nice because I hate spending $6 on a cup of coffee, a cup of milk with a little bit of coffee in it. So I was like, okay, great. Waiting on my drink. He's like, and then I think he was waiting for me to say, I'll pay for the person behind me. I'll pay for their drink. I wasn't going to do that. Didn't feel like I needed to. They had multiple people in the car. Hey, I'm being honest, okay? But then this young guy starts having this dialogue with the young girl next to him. He's like, and I could tell there's some confusion, like what's going on, because there's still a balance on my drink, but there's not a balance on the car's drink behind me. The car, when the guy tried to pay for my drink, the the guy, the cashier, he paid for the drink behind me instead of mine. So you know what happened? I had to pay for my own drink. I had this thought that my bill was paid and it actually wasn't. And I think many of us live our Christian life with the fear that our debt has been paid, has not been paid. And so we work really hard to make sure that we prove it to ourselves. You ever felt this way in your Christian life? And man, the disappointment when I had to pay that $5.75 for that cup of milk. That wasn't the right flavor and it wasn't good. But can I tell you, the promise of Jesus is way more than that. You don't have to live in fear that your salvation is not true, because the work of Jesus is true. And he did rise from the grave and his words are true. And if you have faith in him, you trust him, then it is by grace you have been saved. And then Romans chapter 6, so you got the consequence of your sin is paid. The death has been paid. Jesus has already died. But in Romans chapter 6, it talks about the power of sin is also broken off of you. So you have the consequence and the guilt of sin is removed in salvation, but so is the power of sin. So is the power of sin. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? I know a lot of Christians who read Romans 5 and they're like, I can do whatever I want today because my debt's been paid. Then they read Romans 6 and it's like, oh, I do need to live a holy life, right? So you have to live a holy life. Why? Because he saved us. He says in verse 2, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? When you give your life to Jesus and you confess your sin and you repent and you go through the waters of baptism, what happens in that moment, you are joining yourself with the death of Jesus. His death paid for your sin. So when you join with his death and you are crucified with him, which is what happens when you get buried under the water and you raise to new life, that sin is removed from you. He takes it away. You can stand right before God because he has broken the sin off of you. And when he says that he cleanses you, he takes it away. It's gone. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin and your rebellion. He sees the life and the work of his son, Jesus. And that's the gift of salvation, that the power has been broken off, that you have been saved. And if we died with him, is what Paul keeps writing in Romans, if we died with him, then we will raise to new life with him. And we'll live a new life with him. Because we're united with him in his death. We also are raised with him to new life. And he says in verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So when he died that death on the cross and you accept that, you believe that, you trust that it's true, and you surrender your life to him, you are nailing your sin to that cross with him. The scripture says that Christ became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We can stand in right relationship with God because the sins that we had were crucified with him. Why? So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I think many of us are okay with being set free from the guilt of sin, but to think about being set free from the power of sin is where we struggle, right? Because if we've been set free from the guilt, we don't have to be guilty anymore. But if we are set free from the power, that means we can't live like we used to. Because our life has been changed. The Spirit has come inside of us, removed the sin, and we're set free from the power. And here was my struggle. I read this, but my life did not look like this. I was free from the power of sin. The biblical word for that is sanctified, the theological word. I was set free from the power of sin, but when I looked at my life, it did not look like I was set free from the power of sin. What does that mean? Those Sundays when I would roll into church, if I felt confident enough to go to church, even though I had sinned on Saturday night, it was like, man, if I'm really set free from the power of sin, I should be able to overcome this. This addiction that has me bound should not have me bound if these words are true. So for me, what happened is I began to doubt Romans chapter 6 because my relationship and the experience of my life did not line up with the words of Scripture. When the words of Scripture do not line up with your life, you have two choices. Trust yourself that your life is better than Scripture, or trust the Scripture and just surrender. For me, I was like, something must not be right Because if you say that I'm set free from the guilt, but when I sin, I feel guilty, but you say I'm set free from the power and I can't break free from this, what is the problem? What's the problem? And Romans chapter 7 kind of talks about it. He says in Romans 7, in Romans chapter 7, Paul starts teaching about the law, and he's given this really like high intellectual view of salvation and teaching them what it's about. And this is what he says. He says, the law is good. It's perfectly good. It reveals sin to us, gives us a way to God, but it wasn't good enough. So Jesus came to fulfill it for us. We kind of get that part. But here's what Paul said. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. Let me read that again, because you feel this. The things that I want to do, I cannot do. But the things that I do not want to do, those are the things that I keep on doing. I really don't want to get angry and lose my temper, but I can't help but get angry and lose my temper. I have a great desire to honor God with the way that I speak, but man, there's a lot of jokes that come out of my mouth that do not honor God. I really don't want to look after this person lustfully, but every time they walk by, my eyes just go there, and I can't overcome this. I really don't want to go back to that bottle, but every time I have anxiety or struggle or sin and I don't think about it, I just automatically, it's in my hand and I'm drinking it to drown my sorrows. And I don't want to be here, but I don't know how to overcome. I don't feel like I can break free. And what was happening to me is I was seeing Paul. I was like, okay, so Paul has the same struggle as me. That made me feel better about myself. Well, hey, if Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, struggled with this, I guess it's okay if I struggle with this. He says in verse 18, for I know the good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I just can't carry it out. I can't seem to do it, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I want to do, this I keep on doing. He says a few verses later, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Insert my issue. This was the way that I felt. Every time that I sinned and I fell short, I began to doubt my salvation because the power of God should have set me free from that. But then I read this and I thought, well, Paul struggled with it, so maybe it's okay. I'll just keep pursuing. But I need to work really hard to be really good. And I was working really hard trying to obey every command of Scripture to prove to myself that I was saved, that I was set free, that I was delivered, that I was washed, that I was clean, all the words that we just sang. And I never read chapter 8. I just rested in this because I got my answer, right? For me, my answer was, okay, I'm saved. I'm set free from the consequence of sin. I'm set free from the power of sin. I don't really understand why I can't stop sinning, but neither could Paul, so it's okay. I'll just live my life. And I entered into this cycle of sin, shame, repent, do it all over again. Anybody been in that cycle? Sin, shame, repent, and probably some doubt, and then do it all over again. And I never read Romans chapter 8. And I think many people do not experience the immeasurably more that God has for you because you haven't read chapter 8. Which says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Paul is explaining this moment of salvation where you're set free from the consequence of sin, you're set free from the power of sin, and in that moment, you're set free from it, but you're still gonna have some times of struggle, but do not fear because there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Here's why that matters. In my life, when I would sin, I would feel like, oh no, I sinned. I don't need to get up and pray this morning. God is disappointed with me, so my quiet time in the morning, I'll just push it off till tomorrow until maybe he forgets or I forget. Oh man, I sinned and they're taking communion tomorrow at church. I probably don't need to go. I had that much guilt in my life, but I knew that if I just waited long enough, the guilt would lift and I could just go about my day and then I could jump back into following Jesus. Anybody ever felt this way? It's a, oh no, I've sinned. I hope that God doesn't see it. I think many of us, there's really two kind of relationships people have with their dad. Oh no, I sinned. I hope my dad doesn't find out. Or, oh no, I've sinned. Let me go to dad. You feel the difference? there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus is, oh no, I've sinned. I need to get to the altar. I need to get in the word. I need to pray. I need to go spend time with the one who sets me free from the power so that he can cleanse me of this. He can get rid of the guilt, because what the enemy wants to do is say, hey, you sinned. You're not really in Christ. He doesn't love you. He's disappointed with you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. And so you avoid it. And I think people spend decades away from the church and away from Christ because of this. They just feel so guilty about what they've done, they believe that is now their identity and who they are. There's going to be times where you sin, even though the power's been broken. And there's going to be times where you feel some conviction. You feel bad about it, right? But there's a difference between conviction and shame. Conviction says that you've done something wrong. Shame says that you are something wrong. You feel the difference? Conviction says you've done something wrong. Give it to God. Shame says you are something wrong. God wants nothing to do with you. This was my experience as a young Christian. Why? Because I never read Romans chapter 8. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, so you can go to God. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You have been set free when you give your life to Jesus, free of the consequence and free of the power. What do I mean when I say free of the power of sin? You can overcome that sin in your life. And I've had this conversation with people, and they're like, that just feels arrogant to think I could do that because my life doesn't look that way. It's not arrogant. It's actually really humble, because I know me and I know I can't do it, but the Spirit in me, I'm just going to trust that he can set me free. Why? Because he said he would. So if you're here today and you've been walking in this same sin over and over again, you've been walking in this shame, you've been walking in this guilt, I pray that you receive some freedom today, that God loves you and he sets you free, and he wants to set you free. He wants to be with you. He sets you free from the penalty of sin so that you can have eternity in heaven. He sets you free from the power of sin so that he can walk with you every single day. Because God can't be near sin. And if he wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you, he's got to remove the sin. And here's the reality. We know from Scripture that this is a process. You're set free. You're justified before God in an instant. The Holy Spirit is put inside of you, and that begins a journey of God making you to be more and more like Jesus. Paul says that what we will be, we do not fully know. We see now in part, but one day we'll see fully. So one day we will be completely set free. But today we get to experience little ounces of freedom every single day. And it's immeasurably more than you ever thought possible. It's immeasurably more. The law was provided to the Old Testament so that we could see our sinful nature. And God did what the law could not do. He did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies that we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. This is what happened when Jesus came. That's why he had to come and die the way that he did, so that the curse that Adam, when he rebelled against God, that was cursed upon all of humanity, could be reversed. If you go all the way back to Romans chapter 4, you'll read some of those things. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. God said that if you sin, you will certainly die. So if there was no death in response to sin, God would not be just. So there had to be death. But in his grace, in his love, he sent another in our place to fully satisfy it for us. For those who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead who follow the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 leads us into a life of immeasurably more that no one can take away from you. No one can separate you from God. Not your past, not your present, not your future. Nothing can separate you from God. And you can live with immeasurably more freedom and grace and power because of the Spirit that God has given you. The promise of the gospel is eternity in heaven because the consequence of sin has been removed from you. But the promise of the gospel is also freedom from the power of sin today. You don't have to continue in that cycle. You don't have to continue in that addiction. You don't have to continue in that pain. in those things that are destroying your life. The law that God has given us is not because he wants to keep something from you. He wants to keep you from death. I put outlet covers in the sockets at home, not because I want to have an extra hassle when I got to use it, because I don't want my kid to put a fork in it. And he would, because he loves lightning. I don't keep him from things because I don't want good things from him for him. I keep him from things because I do want good things for him. God has a list and an excellent way to live your life because he designed it. And he knows what's best for you. So he put these laws in place so that you wouldn't go near the things that are harmful for you. And we have this sin has power over us, and we can't help but to go to the things that we're told not to. But in Christ Jesus, that has been broken off of you, and you can now have freedom. And the promise is to trust and follow the Spirit. Because here's the problem. Many of us, we long for this, but we can't get there. Just like me, I read Romans 5, 6, and 7, and I was good. But I continued in the same path. I continued in the same addictions. I continued along the same path that was leading me to death because I wasn't following the Spirit. The immeasurably more that God has for you, we talked about this last week, is his Holy Spirit. He puts the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead and all that power inside of you. And all that power and all that light and all that grace drives all the sin out of you so that you can have immeasurably more of God. And in that immeasurably more, he gives you immeasurably more freedom. And if you aren't experiencing freedom, it's not because the word isn't true. It's because maybe something in your life is in the way. And it's in the way not because he can't remove it, but because you won't let go of it. God is not going to bend your will. He's not going to make you do anything. And if you want to hold on to the thing that's burning you and leading you to death, he will let you do it. He's not going to force his love on you, but he is inviting you to let it go, to walk in a new life. If you do not have immeasurably more freedom in your life, it's because you are not following the Spirit, which means, I think, one of three things. One, and Paul writes this in Romans 8, you may not have the Spirit. If you're not experiencing immeasurably more, you may not have the Holy Spirit inside of you leading and guiding you, which means you're not a child of God. You need to surrender your life to him. The second reason could be that you're still attempting to do it on your own. Maybe you have been saved and you surrendered and you gave it all, but there's still some areas of your life where you're like, I got this one, God. I'll take care of this one. And he's begging you to surrender it because you can have freedom that way. So for some, it may be because you don't have the Spirit. Some, you're just still trying to do it on your own. And for the third person, it may just be because you still need to grow. The scripture says, and Paul writes about this, that when we give our life to Jesus, we're like infants who need to be fed with formula, but at some point you have to start growing as a Christian. I think so many people, and this was me as a high school, I gave myself so much guilt and shame, but I was a baby Christian. I get onto my five-year-old a little bit different than I get onto my two-year-old. Why? Because she's a baby and he's five. Maybe he's still a baby at sometimes, but he's a big five-year-old. But I expect more of him because he's older than her. So when they get into an argument, it's like, David, that's silly. She's two. She's not two yet. Well, she'll be two next week. You see what I'm saying? And many of us, we put a standard of ourselves of how to follow Jesus as someone who's been following Jesus for 30 years, but we just gave our life to him. Give yourself some grace. Don't let the enemy keep you from God because you're so ashamed of who you are. But learn and grow and get in relationship with him. The justification, the freedom from the consequence happens in an instant. The sanctification, the freedom from the power of sin happens over a lifetime. And over a lifetime, you continue to grow. So if you're like, man, I don't feel freedom, but I really want to. I'm trying my best. I'm pursuing after God. Here's the problem. I think some of us get in the place we pursue trying harder to not sin instead of just pursuing him. And so we get stuck. I'm trying to grow. I want to be better. I'm doing better. I'm trying all this stuff. My language is different. My music is different. My movies are different. And those are products of following Jesus. But if you go that route, you're trying to save yourself. You have to pursue him first and let him do that in you. Those of you who've experienced that, you're nodding, and those who are not, like, maybe I should try that. If you long to have immeasurably more freedom in your life, you must live by the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit is not the part of the Trinity that you should be afraid of. Right? I remember as a kid, they called him the Holy Ghost. I don't want any ghosts. That's scary. The Holy Spirit is the grace of God. It's the Spirit of God that brings you life. When you were created, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that displayed the love of Jesus, right? There's nothing but love in the Holy Spirit that wants to raise you to a new life. And so you have to follow the Spirit. If there's no growth and no conviction, no desire to change, then you may need to get saved today. But if you have conviction, you have a desire to change, you have a desire to grow, and you are growing, it's not because you don't have the Spirit, it's because you need to continue to grow. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some time. For some people, it takes months. For some people, it takes days. For some people, it takes a lifetime to overcome. But if you've given your life to Him, you are in Christ Jesus. But there is more to just, hey, I got saved, and that's the finish line. That's the starting line of a new life. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. For me, here's how I interpreted that as a teenager and as a young adult. Christ has set us free, so make sure that you stay free by not sinning. That's not what it says. Christ has set you free. Make sure that you stay free by not trying to earn your salvation by obeying the law. You see the difference? The law shows you what God wants for you, and many of us try to do it all by ourselves, and we couldn't, so Jesus did it for us. What the law of Moses couldn't do, God did for you. So when you try to earn your salvation, you're telling God that, hey, Christ, I got this. I can do it by myself, and that's not freedom. Freedom says, okay, God, I trust you. I have faith that your work is enough, and you're going to keep working these sins out in my life. I'm just going to fix my eyes on you, and that's going to go somewhere else. And here's the reality. When you try not to sin, you're going to sin. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, He sets you free from that sin. He sets you free from it. So how do you live by the Spirit? How do you live by the Spirit and how do you grow? The first thing you have to do is you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Faith is the only way to please God. You have to trust that Jesus's work for you is enough. He says in a few verses later in Galatians 5, verse 4, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. If you're trying to earn your salvation, and like I was trying to be as good as you can be, it says that you have been cut off from Christ. What does that mean? It says that you're telling God, Christ, I don't need your work. I can do it by myself. I'm good. I've got this. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us. I want you to notice what he's teaching here. But we who live by the Spirit, we eagerly wait. Why do we have to wait? Because it's a process. It's not going to happen instantly. You're not going to be perfect today. You may sin this afternoon. You may sin before you leave the building. You may be sinning right now. You may have things in you that you yet to surrender, that you're not believing. So we eagerly wait to receive by works the righteousness that God has promised to us. Is that what it says? The righteousness that God gives you is not something that you go earn. It's something that you receive by faith. And we wait for it. How do we wait for it? We pursue Him. We worship Him. We get in the Word. We get in prayer. We get in a community group. We get on mission. We do the things that God has called us to do. If we'll focus on those things, the righteousness will come. The righteousness will come. It's a process, but it's something that we can step into. And here's what I want you to know. Faith that pleases God is when you surrender trying to not sin and you focus on Him. And here's why that's faith. For me, when I was in that Romans 5, 6, and 7, and I was continually trying to be better, I didn't have faith that He truly set me free. So I felt like I had to prove it and earn it. I was trying to not sin, and I wasn't focused on God. And when your mind is set on not sinning, you're thinking about sin all day, and you sin. Romans chapter 8 flips it and says, focus on me, let me set you free. There's no condemnation, just focus on me, be with me, love me, worship me, serve me, and I'm going to give you the righteousness. And that's what takes faith. Because when I look at my life, sometimes I'm like, man, I don't feel righteous right now. And I have to have faith that Christ is still with me. He's still in me. He hasn't left me. You have to have faith, but you have to have focus. You have to be focused. If you're not focused on pursuing God, your eyes are going to go like this. Your direction is going to change. And if you're not heading in a right direction, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. It's pretty simple, right? If you're not focused on him, you're going to be focused on yourself and all the stuff here, right? And many of us, we focus on the world and everything around us, but those things will pass away, but eternity will last forever. So what should we do? We should set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. So if you want to follow the Spirit, you have to set your mind on things above. Why? We're going to go back to Romans again. Those who are dominated by sinful nature, they think about sinful things. Their mind is set on sinful things. Why? Because they're dominated by a sinful nature. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If you want to be set free, you have to think about things that please the Spirit, which is loving God and loving people. It's having faith. It's doing the things that God has asked you to do. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So you have to let the Spirit control your mind. How do you do that? Galatians 5, 16. I know I told you I'm going to get all over the place. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. This is revolutionary for me. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Pursue the Holy Spirit. Pursue God. How do you do that? You get in prayer. You get in worship. You get in church. You get in a group. You get surrounded with people. You do that one-year challenge that we've called you to. Why? Because not because you need to be perfect, but because when the Holy Spirit guides your life, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So many of us have this absolutely backwards. Let me get my sinful nature under control, and then I can follow God. Then I can get baptized. Then I can go to Growth Track. Then I can get in a group. When I get it all together, then I can go all in. You will never make it. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you will not be doing what you're sinful. Then you'll be set free. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. When you're dominated by sinful thoughts, when you still have the power of sin in you, the results are clear. And he goes on this long list, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, a whole nother list. Take a picture of that one. Idolatry, sorcery, selfishness, division, envy, all this stuff. And other sins like it. When your mind is focused on things of the world, this is the result. Because that's your nature. But when your mind is focused on the Spirit, there's a different result. There's a different result. Verse 22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you set your mind on things of the world, the result are things of the world. And the people who live that way will not inherit the kingdom of God. But those who set their mind on the Spirit, this is what their life produces. And so many of us have this backwards. We say, well, this is what my life looks like, so I need to change it. I need to be more patient. I need to be more kind. I need to be more faithful, and then I can inherit the kingdom. You need to focus more on the Spirit and let him do this in you. Those actions in your life, those sins in your life are a result of where your mind is set. I heard a pastor say this the other day. Where do your thoughts go when your mind is not required? Where do your thoughts go when your mind is not required? What do you think about when you don't have to be thinking about anything? That's your mindset. That's what you're focused on. And when you focus on sin, sin will be the result. When you focus on him, he will be the result. His desires will be the result. Why? Because those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. A sinful life is the product of what you've set your mind on. A righteous life is the product of what the Spirit does in you. So my encouragement today, stop trying to be good and focus on Him. Try to be with Him. Focus on God. Get where God is. Where is God? He's in the church. He's with people. He's with people who follow Him. Go where He is. That's number three. Make the most of every moment. Make the most of every moment. Why? Because that's what He said. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't live like those who are fools and just constantly think about how good you can be. Live like a wise person and set your mind on God and on things that are eternal. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. There's that thinking mindset again. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He set you free from the consequence of sin so that you could have eternity in heaven. He set you free from the power of sin so that you could live with Him every single day of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit that's been put inside of you. And if you're tired of running the rat race of trying to earn your way to heaven, you have to set your mind on Him and not on all this stuff around you. And then you'll have immeasurably more freedom. Then you'll have immeasurably more freedom. You have to have faith. You have to have focus. You have to make the most of every opportunity. And when you have faith and focus, man, making the most of every opportunity, it just happens because that's where your mind is. How do you get your mind there? You get in the Word, you get in prayer, you worship, you serve, you get in a group of people. That was a testimony I heard all week last week. Then just being in a group of people doing this together is what it took for me. Why? Because it puts your mind where God wants you to be. Immeasurably more is not about try harder. It's not managing sin. It's walking with the Spirit. It's walking in the power of the Spirit, which is a daily surrender. It's daily growth in Jesus and His church, and it's daily focus on who He is. And He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. If you need immeasurably more today, if you need freedom today, today's an opportunity to surrender to the Lord. If you know that you do not have the Spirit, today's a day to receive the Spirit. It's the day to receive salvation. It's the day to be set free, to be delivered, to be washed. Let's bow for prayer. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you just reveal to every person in the room right now whether or not you are dwelling inside of them? Lord, your word says that the Spirit testifies to us whether or not we are in Christ. And I'm trusting you right now, Holy Spirit, to reveal right now to every person in the room whether or not they are in Christ. If you know that you are not in Christ, but you want freedom, you want to surrender, you want to give your life to Jesus, in a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Every head will be bowed, every eye will be closed. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want to ask two groups of people to make a profession right now. If you know that you need Christ for the first time, salvation, I'm going to want you to raise your hand. But also, if you know, man, I've been trying this by myself and I'm surrendering today to say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I want you to raise your hand too. We're going to raise them together. One, because we need Him. Two, because He's good. And three, because we're surrendering it all. So if you're surrendering it all right now, you need the Holy Spirit, would you just lift a hand? You just lift a hand really high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're raising your hand and you want more surrender, more freedom, won't you just pray this right here with me? Jesus, I see how good you are. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Would you forgive me of my sin? Set me free from the consequence. Set me free from the power. And I'm going to serve you the rest of my life.
I'm going to set my mind on you. Give me the strength to set my mind on you, Holy Spirit, every single day. Because today I'm choosing to serve you and to love you. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for immeasurably more. In Jesus' name, amen.